the Olivet Prophecy and its impact upon New Testament epistles. And Brother Eric is to lead us in the study under the heading of the need for watchfulness.
Brother Chairman, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in the 21st chapter of Luke, and verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ continues the words which he gave to his disciples, to those four disciples, as they sat watching Jerusalem from the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And he said unto them, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ now calls upon those disciples who are listening to him that they needed to take heed to themselves. And in these words, or with these words, the Lord Jesus Christ now gives to his disciples both an exhortation and a warning. And he shows us by this warning the methods that we can use which will enable us to meet the problems of facing us in these last days. And not only the problems which face us at this present time, but I believe the problems which also faced the disciples in those years immediately before AD 70. And showing also to the disciples then and to us now how it is possible for us to withstand those difficulties and problems which come upon us, both from the world about us as well as the ecclesia within. It is quite obvious at this point of time that the apostles who listened to the Lord Jesus Christ did not understand the Olivet Prophecy as it was given to them. It was only later on, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they came to understand the significance of the Lord's words. And with them coming to understand the significance of those words, so they would be strengthened, both themselves, and be in a position to warn others of the problems which were coming upon them. And because of the lack of understanding of the disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ uses this as an opportunity to present unto them an exhortation and a warning on the need for watchfulness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ warned them in the words of this 21st chapter of Luke and verse 34, where he says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. And the word take heed is a Greek word which means to turn one's mind or thought or attention to a thing. And not only to do this, but to be intent upon it. To be intent upon it. So the Lord Jesus Christ is now saying to these disciples, representative of the ecclesia, that they needed to take heed to themselves. In this context, he's saying, don't worry about the other brethren and sisters. Take heed to yourselves. It's necessary for you to look inwardly at yourself and be very intent upon it. You know, brethren and sisters, quite often we're so busy considering other people that we haven't got time for ourselves. We can see the problems and difficulties in other people, but we fail to look inwardly to ourselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ shows that one of the root problems of the ecclesia is the fact that they don't look inwardly enough. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says to be very intent upon this, to turn one's mind and attention and thought upon yourselves, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren and sisters, this is an age in which we need to take heed principally to ourselves. The conditions of the world about us, and from a national point of view, and the conditions of the ecclesial world as they existed in the years before AD 70 are very similar to the conditions which exist today. And this is very apparent from the epistles which were written at the time. Consider again the words of the Lord, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy in his second epistle, chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with the conditions of the world scene as they were prior to AD 70. But he is also dealing with the conditions of the world at the present time. But brethren and sisters, he's not dealing with the world outside. He's dealing with the ecclesial situation. When people within the ecclesia would be in that state of mind, that frame of mind. And brethren and sisters, I believe that we're seeing these conditions manifested ecclesially today. And you can understand why the Lord Jesus Christ says we need to take heed unto ourselves. And that warning is very clearly shown to ourselves. And we need to consider the words of the 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5 and recognize that they're written for us. And we could be doing some of the things which the Apostle Paul warns Timothy in this third chapter. That is also the fourth chapter of that second of Timothy. And verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This was the case prior to AD 70. And brethren and sisters, I don't need to tell you that this is what is happening within the ecclesia today. They're turning away themselves from the truth. They will not endure sound doctrine. And are turning unto fables. And this was what the Apostle Paul warned Timothy and the ecclesias of that day. And I believe that warning comes to us at this present time. This is the conditions within the ecclesia today. That is also the words of the second of Peter. Second epistle of Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2. Where Peter says that there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many within the ecclesia shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of him the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their condemnation slumbereth not. And so Peter warns of the circumstances which will lead to these false teachers coming upon them. And although Peter gives a warning in regard to this, when we go over to the epistle of Jude, they are then at that point in the very midst of the ecclesia. Notice Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Words which were spoken immediately prior to AD 70, and words which have their application today. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. They were then in the ecclesia, in the very midst of the ecclesia, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And again in verse 16 he says that these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And so the epistles warned of the conditions of the ecclesial world in the time prior to AD 70. And we can take those words and we can see that these are the events and the circumstances in the ecclesial world today. Within the ecclesia, and before AD 70, within the ecclesia, it was a time of trouble when doubts and difficulties and problems arose which related to doctrinal matters, which up to that point of time had been accepted without question. Now there's doubts and difficulties arose, and items of a fundamental nature were now being challenged. There was a time within the ecclesia which was one of apathy, and of growing apostasy on every hand. When you consider the world conditions as they existed before AD 70, the moral standards were being relaxed as they are today. The leaders, both the religious and political, were seeking for certain prestige and power. There was a widespread pleasure and profit seeking. It was a time of affluence. It was a time when men were governed by selfish ambition. And not only were they governed by ambition, but there was the circumstances in the world at that point of time which allowed men to realize their ambitions. And men used the things of pleasure and profit, of success in things of a worldly nature at the expense of all else. And this was the conditions in AD 70, and we know only too well that these are the conditions in the world at this present time. And we can feel them about us, and the inroads of the world are being felt within the ecclesia itself. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ uttered those words to the disciples to take heed unto themselves. The need was to look inward, as the Apostle Paul had warned in the 20th chapter of Acts, when he said to the elders of Ephesus, in verse 28, again he uttered these words, the same words as the Lord Jesus Christ at this point of time. Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves. And having taken heed unto themselves, it was necessary for them also to take heed to the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, to feed the ecclesia of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And so the Apostle Paul warned in very similar words to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his warning, the Lord's warning, in that 21st chapter of Luke, continues when he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. The Lord uses the term overcharged. It's a word which comes from a Greek word which denotes a weight. Anything which presses upon one physically, anything that presses upon one physically, or anything weighty that makes a demand upon one's resources, whether they be material or spiritual. And it speaks of to be heavy or weighed down, lest your hearts be heavy and weighed down. And the term can be used also of a person who is drowsy through the overeating, and the effects of gluttony. And so the Lord says, you consider yourself, brethren and sisters, lest at any time your hearts be weighed down, if you become drowsy through the overeating or the effects of gluttony. Your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And the word surfeiting is in the Greek a medical term, and it signifies the giddiness and headache resulting from excessive wine bibbing. It's a drunken nausea. And the Lord warns that they should not be weighed down with this drunken nausea. And drunkenness, then he makes reference to. And if we go to the 17th chapter of Revelation in verse 2, we have the words there of the Lord Jesus Christ in regard to the religious systems of the world. Revelation 17 and verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And brethren and sisters, it's possible for us to become drunk with the things of this world, of the religious systems about us. We can become drunk. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ warns the brethren and sisters, to the members of representatives of the ecclesia who listen to these words. There's four disciples who came asking the Lord Jesus Christ these questions. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And it's possible for us to overeat and overdrink of the pleasures and cares of this life. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ warns against at this point of time. And those who indulge in this become spiritually heavy with sleep as far as their responsibility towards the things of God are concerned. And they cannot see clearly what their responsibilities are. And they give wrong judgment. And they judge the situation wrongly themselves. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says that those in this condition do not manifest a vigilant watchfulness. And so this is the reason for the Lord's warning at this point of time. And he shows us that if we are going to vigilantly watch and remember and wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be found adopting the ways of the world or being materialistically minded in the things of this age. And the Lord then goes on to show in verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Notice what the Lord is saying. He says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. And brethren and sisters, he's saying that the problem and difficulty within the ecclesia is that they won't be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't be expecting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses the term as a snare. Shall it come upon all them? You know, traps are set in most unsuspecting places, and you don't necessarily put your foot on a trap and say, yes, I'm now caught. I saw that trap there. Brethren and sisters, he's saying that this is going to be without warning, and like a trap, it's going to spring shut. And the term snare there speaks of a trap which fixes and grips. It's something that we're not aware of, and we will be walking along either watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ or be involved with the things of this world to such an extent that we won't recognize the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like a snare, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come upon the world. It's going to close, as it were, and it's going to catch certain individuals within it. And brethren and sisters, we need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as a snare, it's going to come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. And the Lord says, because of this, verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And he's dealing with the tribulation and the problems and the difficulties which are going to come upon the earth. And he says, watch and pray that ye might be accounted worthy to escape all these things. And the word watch is a different word to what the Lord has normally used in the Olivet prophecy. And the word watch here is to be sleepless, to chase sleep. The word expresses not mere watchfulness, but for the watch, but the watchfulness of those who are intent upon a thing. Those who are intent upon a thing. We know only too well the circumstances. The Lord had had a very busy day with his disciples. Now, as the evening drew on, he was giving them the circumstances of the Olivet prophecy, and now certain exhortations afterwards. You can imagine the disciples then, the following night, when the Lord Jesus Christ had gone to pray, went completely to sleep. You can imagine their attitude this night as they watched the city of Jerusalem. They would be nodding in sleep. And probably they were listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not fully intent upon it. And then some of the disciples were probably chasing sleep. And unless they were intent upon it, they themselves would have fallen asleep. And the Lord uses this term, and he says for them that they need to chase sleep and be very intent upon it. And what is required for us to do that? Watch ye therefore and pray always. And for us to be intent upon this, that in our spirit of sleeplessness that we might watch, we need prayer. It requires effort, but it requires also prayer. And it requires the study of the Word of God that we might consider what the Lord Jesus Christ is stating to us. We need, as it were, to chase sleep and put our minds to the things which the Lord Jesus Christ has stated unto us, that we might be strengthened against the times which are now currently in the earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts in that fashion that we need to pray that we might be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. To stand before the Son of Man. Not to fall, but to stand. And the idea is to stand approved before the Son of Man. And this is the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. And now the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us a series of parables which have a special application to believers living in this day and age. Parables which emphasize the need for watchfulness, the need for preparation for his coming and for his return. He uses another parable to show that one needs to use their talents in the work of the truth. And finally, the final parables he deals with the inevitability of the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first parable he gives is the parable relating to Noah and the judgment which came upon an unheeding world. The next parable he gives is of a man on a far journey, which of course speaks of himself. The next parable deals with the thief-like advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth parable, that of faithful and evil servants whom the Lord had appointed over his household. And in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we have three parables dealing with the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and also the parable of the sheep and goats. Now, first of all, we will consider several of these parables. The first one relates to the parable of Noah. And it is given in the 24th chapter of Matthew in verses 37 to 39. And the Lord says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And the circumstances of these parables are the same both in AD 70 as they will be with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't really need to consider these circumstances of Noah's time to realize that the conditions which existed in the world at the time of Noah are the same as those which exist in the world at this present time. Let us go back for a brief moment to the 6th chapter of Genesis to consider the circumstances at that point of time. Genesis 6 and verse 5. "And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." You consider mankind today. Are the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man evil continually? Don't we have the military and religious giants that are spoken of in verse 4? There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, people who wanted to make a name for themselves within the earth. Don't we have those conditions within the world at this present time? Don't we find that the way of God is corrupted? Verse 12, "Then God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And brethren and sisters, I believe that when we have the term all flesh in this 6th chapter of Genesis, it's dealing with two types of flesh. And there are two types of flesh within the earth at the time of Genesis 6. One was the flesh of mankind generally, and the other was the ecclesia. So you had the world and the ecclesia. So that both had corrupted the way of God. Not only the world, it had always corrupted the way of God. But now the very ecclesia itself was corrupting God's way upon the earth. And this was the circumstances of Noah. The ecclesia was corrupting his way. And notice verse 13, "The whole earth was filled with violence. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them of the earth, from off the earth." And the conditions which existed in the days of Noah are very similar to those in which we find ourselves at this present time. What of the ecclesia? It was unheeding of the signs which pointed to the destruction of the earth. They couldn't see any problem with what the world was doing. There was no difficulty in it as far as they were concerned. And so when Noah showed them and pointed out, and this should have been clear to every member of that ecclesia, that the world was so corrupt that God had to do something about it, and they unheeded the warning voice of Noah. They mocked the message which he had for them. They became indifferent to the responsibilities which should have been theirs as they saw the corruption which was in the world and how that all flesh had corrupted his way. And within the ecclesia itself, there was a widespread indifference of people within the ecclesia itself to the things of God. And this manifested itself throughout the whole of the world. And I believe that members of the ecclesia themselves joined with the world about in ridiculing the warning work of Noah. The scriptures says that they pleased themselves, not God. Verse 2 of the 6th chapter of Genesis, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose, whatever they wanted, so they were prepared to have the opportunity of gratifying it in this age, at the time before the flood. Whatever they wanted, they could get at that point of time. And so evil did God find the world that he found it necessary to wipe out all mankind. Verse 7, Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And brethren and sisters, you consider the ecclesia in the day of Noah must have been quite vast. There are brethren and sisters whom I believe who assisted Noah in the building of that ark. Methuselah himself died in the year of the flood. And there are probably faithful brethren and sisters who assisted Noah, who in the course of time were laid to rest. And so the ecclesia was not prepared to assist Noah in the things which he did. And out of the whole of the population of the world, only one family, the family of Noah, was saved. Only one family. And brethren and sisters, at the one time in the earth, just prior to the days of Noah, there must have been a vast ecclesia. Because the population of the world was probably very similar to the population of the world in this present day and age. And yet only one family was saved. And the Lord says that the circumstances in the days of Noah are going to be very similar to the circumstances which will exist prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is going to again intervene, because all flesh is coming to corrupt the way of God upon this earth. All flesh had corrupted his way in the days of Noah. And I believe, brethren and sisters, I'm sure that this was both the world as well as the ecclesia. And today within the ecclesias, we have a spirit of worldliness, which is plaguing our ecclesias on every side. There's a spirit of liberalism, a spirit of relaxing the standards of the truth. And we are plagued by, within the ecclesia, by ways that have been learned from the world. It's interesting also to notice that Noah was called into the ark before the flood. And so also it will be with the saints when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That is the 26th chapter of Isaiah and verse 20. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And so the saints will be withdrawn from this time of trouble which is coming upon the earth. They will be brought to the fastnesses of Sinai. And like Noah and Lot, they will be withdrawn before that time of trouble will come upon the earth. And the prophet Isaiah speaks of this at this point of time. And so the exhortation which the Lord Jesus Christ is giving when he deals with the things of Noah, and he says in verse 38, as it was in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, Matthew 24 verse 38, marrying and giving in marriage. They had an indifference to the things of God, and they went about their own way without any consideration for God. and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the disciples must be in a state of preparedness. They should not be indifferent to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord continues in the 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is stating here. He's saying that the crisis which will occur with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ would come upon them suddenly and unexpectedly. And it didn't provide for specific preparation. It was like a snare which was going to come upon the inhabitants of the earth. Did not provide for that specific preparation. Unless an individual had earlier provided for it and prepared for it, so he would be caught unawares. And so it deals with two in a field and two grinding at the mill. And I believe both will be taken, because the terms which the Lord Jesus Christ gives here in verse 40 and 41, the terms taken and left, are perhaps not correctly given in the authorized version. And the term taken, one shall be taken, it means to be taken from beside another and to take to oneself. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that there will be two in the field. One shall be taken to oneself. So that the Lord Jesus Christ, there's two individuals. One will be taken to one's, to the Lord's self. And the other is said to be left. But the term in the Greek does not mean to be left, but it means to be sent forth or away. To be sent forth or away. So that one is taken unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other is sent forth or away. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and while people won't be occupied in their daily work, will be taken to the Lord Jesus Christ. One will be accepted of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other will be rejected. One the Lord Jesus Christ will take to himself, and the other will be sent away. And this will be the case at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how necessary is it for us to prepare beforehand for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? That we should be intent upon this. Our whole heart and our mind and our bodies being intent upon preparedness for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And both here are called to the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, one to be accepted and the other to be rejected. And he goes on in verse 42 to say, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And so he now gives a parable relating to a man upon a journey. And we perhaps will take this up in the 13th chapter of Mark in verse 33. Verse 32, which we have already quoted from the 24th chapter of Matthew, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, and know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. He left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." And so he gives now this parable of a man upon a journey. The term "watch" now that he uses is to be spiritually or mentally alert. "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." Well, the Son of Man, he says, who speaks of the porter as being told to watch. Verse 35, "Watch, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." So he deals with an individual found sleeping. It's easy to do this, to figuratively fall asleep, to become apathetic to the things of the truth, to be not so alert to the problems and difficulties which are about us. It's easy to do this because the very way of life causes us to do this. The very business of life is so geared today, the very struggle, as it were, for survival, seems to be such that it causes an individual to become lethargic to the things of the truth. The very rushing from one place to another, as we do in this day and age. We need to be very careful of the things which we are doing. Because the very pursuit of this life is something which causes a person to become apathetic to the things of the truth. And the world today is bent on the pursuit of riches, for a seeking for pleasure. And this is something which dulls one to the requirements of God. And so the Lord, because of this, recognizing this, gives this parable, the parable of a man upon a journey. And he deals with a man who, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes his journey and he leaves his house in the care of his servants. And notice in verse 34, he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, so that each one was given specific duties. And this is the case within the ecclesia today, that everyone is given a specific duty to do. The Apostle Paul deals with this, and we won't refer to it, but in the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 15 to 31, where he deals with the various members of the ecclesia having different work to do. They haven't all got the same work, so that the Lord has given to us a specific work that we should do, and we need to proceed in that work. And so he commends the porter to watch. Because they didn't know when the master of the house would come. And he divides the night into four watches. The evening watch, which began at 6 p.m. and ended at 9 p.m. The midnight watch, which was from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. The cock crowing was from midnight to 3 a.m. in the morning, our time. And the morning watch was that which occupied the time from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. These were the watches of the night. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, he was about to leave his disciples and so ascend into heaven. And he had warned them in the words of the Olivet prophecy of two crises that were going to come upon the ecclesia and upon the world. The first one was to come upon the Jews in AD 70, and the second one was going to come upon the Gentiles in their day and age. And Christ has shown us the various signs relating to both these periods of time. And he has warned us that we need to watch, because we don't know when the Master was to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ's presence was manifested in the city of Jerusalem in AD 70. And the Lord Jesus Christ is assuredly, his presence will be manifested in the earth. And we can see the signs which relate to his coming very clearly in the words of this Olivet prophecy. But we don't know the day nor the hour. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns us on that account that we need to watch. And the apostles and the elders had to be on guard and to warn the ecclesia. And so must we, brethren and sisters. We must warn the ecclesia of those events which are coming upon this world. The porter who was commanded to watch was like the apostles. But also it is ourselves in a sense. We are called upon to watch like that porter. And so we have the words of the Apostle Paul which we have quoted, but which we won't refer to at this present time, when he deals with the signs of the times. And shows how that we need to watch and be sober, that we need to be mentally alert, that we might recognize the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so he has calls upon us, not only to the porter, not only to the apostles who were listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ at that point of time. What I say unto you, the apostles, I say unto all, watch. And so the Lord, by these words, extends the statement which he is making from those disciples to whom he specifically spoke, to everyone, that we should watch and wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I say unto you, the apostles, I say unto all disciples, the necessity for watchfulness. And so he continues in the 24th chapter of Matthew, in which he gives the parable of the thief, verse 43 and verse 44 of the 24th chapter of Matthew. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be therefore ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And we recognize, as we've pointed out from the epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, and the Lord Jesus Christ uses a similar word himself again in the book of Revelation, when he deals with a thief-like advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knows when a thief will come. And so we need to prepare for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who cometh as a thief in the night. And then in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and we will conclude on this thought, there is a rather beautiful parable presented of faithful and evil servants. The 24th chapter of Matthew, and verse 45 to the end of the chapter. And the Lord says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods." So first of all, he deals with a faithful servant. Notice he makes reference to him as a faithful and wise servant. Not only was he to be faithful, but also he had to show wisdom in the household that was in his care. And the Lord makes him ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season. And brethren and sisters, I believe that we must very closely examine the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is dealing with the events immediately prior to his second coming. And he speaks of a wise servant who has been appointed over his household into a position of authority. And he said it's necessary that he should give the household meat in due season. Unfortunately, a problem, I believe, exists within the ecclesia today, that babes in the truth are being fed meat when they should be fed milk. And those who should be partaking of meat are partaking of milk. And we need to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us a warning here, that we need to exercise our wisdom as well as our faithfulness in the way we should treat the household of faith. It's not necessary at all times to give meat. Babes in Christ need to be given milk. And the very fact that they are not given milk can quite often give them indigestion. They can be upset by the things which they are given. They need first of all to partake of milk, and so be developed in the things of the truth, that they might participate in meat. And quite often we neglect those who have recently come into the meeting. We bring them into a class where we've all been for some considerable period of time, and we begin to feed them with meat. And we need to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, as a wise and faithful servant, is one who first of all develops milk, and then he gives meat in due season. Not at the wrong season, but in due season he gives them meat. You consider what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul said, to the brethren and sisters, the Hebrew brethren and sisters, in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 12. "And when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as are of need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful," or as the margin renders it, "hath no experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." He's immature in the things of the truth. "But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, those who are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised both to discern both good and evil." But there is nothing wrong with being a baby. There is nothing wrong with being a baby if a baby is developing in the things of the Word of God. If he is developing to that stage when he should partake of full, of strong meat, of meat, there is no problem with that, brethren and sisters. And we need to recognize that there are babes in Christ. And we need to feed those babes in Christ in the way that babes in Christ should be fed, that they might ultimately develop to that stage of maturity in Christ when strong meat should be given unto them. And so the Lord speaks of a faithful and wise servant. And in speaking of a faithful and wise servant, he says he gives meat in due season. And this is what is being stated in that 24th chapter of Matthew, and the Lord is bringing home that point that we need to recognize that as far as this the stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deals with him as a faithful and wise servant. It's interesting that that servant who is mentioned there in the 45th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew was previously a slave. He might still be a slave. He was either a slave or a freed man who was elevated to a position of steward. And we, brethren and sisters, were once the slaves of sin, but now we've become the slaves or servants of righteousness. And we have been elevated to a position within the household of faith. And we need to give due heed to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful, but we need also to be wise. And we need to deal out food unto those to whom it should be given, milk unto the babies, and meat unto those who are of full age. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is stating at this present time. And verily I say unto you, verse 47, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But then finally he says in verse 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's speaking of people who have been made overseers within the ecclesia. People within the ecclesia who should be feeding the ecclesia. And he says, not outright, he doesn't go out to the household and say, look, Christ delayed his coming. He's delaying his coming. But in his heart he says that. And this is the attitude of one's heart. And the very actions which he did show.
Now in Genesis chapter 3, of course, we have a well-known chapter that describes for us the introduction of sin into the world. Now I don't want to go through all the sort of details that we're well familiar with, but I just want to make a...
And if she be a door, we will enclose her with books.
Lord Jesus Christ is close. The Lord's delaying his coming. And verse 49, it speaks of him beginning to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. He now borrows the things of the world. He brings them within the ecclesia and says, I can use the same attitude within the ecclesia. Christ's delayed his coming. And this is the attitude of his heart. And so he begins to smite the brethren and sisters and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant, says the Lord Jesus Christ, shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And brethren and sisters, we've alluded to these verses. There were within the ecclesia in AD 70 a group of people who had this attitude. They set aside the words of the Olivet prophecy. They set aside the Lord Jesus Christ. They, as it were, crucified him again and put him to an open shame. They'd accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they were going back to the things of Judaism. And going back to the things of Judaism, so when the saints, the true saints, the true ecclesia moved out of the city of Jerusalem, they turned their back on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stayed within the city of Jerusalem. And they were, their portion was with the hypocrite. And so they were affected in the destruction of AD 70. And brethren and sisters, this is again the case of the rejected at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says that that servant, that Christ will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. And this is the point that the Lord Jesus Christ is making when he says, no man knows the day nor the hour. An hour that he is not aware of, and a day when he looketh not for him, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's very beautiful when you consider what is being mentioned here, when he's being cut in sunder. You know, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, he is our covenant victim. And the covenant victim was cut in twain, and one part was put on one side, and another part was put on another side. And brethren and sisters, we recognize our covenant victim every Sunday morning as we take the bread and we break it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is set forward as our covenant victim. And we need to recognize that, and we need to ratify that covenant. But you know what happened to the children of Israel who refused to hearken unto the covenant which Yahweh had made with them? They were cut in twain and appointed their portion with the hypocrites. And this will be the case in the age to come. Those who have refused to accept their covenant victim, the Lord Jesus Christ, so they will be cut asunder, and their portion will be with the hypocrites. And the fate of the rejected is that they will go back into the world that they have loved, and they will remain in that world to be destroyed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us warnings and exhortations at this point of time that we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our covenant victim, that we need to give earnest diligence and intentness of heart and thought to ourselves that we might stand before the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. The question relates to the 24th chapter of Matthew and verse 39, relating to the people in the day of Noah who knew not. And the question asks for a further explanation of this 39th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. It deals with the people in the time of Noah, who is said to have knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, as far as the people of in the days of Noah were concerned, that Noah entered into the ark. And for a short period of time, the ark was sealed and the flood did not come upon the earth. And this, I believe, will be the case when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. It says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And the point that Arnold has made is that this speaks of perceiving by the eye of faith. As far as the world about us is concerned, they don't recognize and they don't understand the things of the truth. And when the saints are withdrawn, I believe that you'll have this condition as far as the world is concerned. They won't perceive what is coming upon them because they won't know by the eye of faith the things which will come upon the world. And I believe that this is what is mentioned here and will be the case again when the Lord Jesus Christ takes the saints to himself. There will be that state within the world that the world will not really recognize because they don't understand the words of God and what is really coming upon them. The question relates to the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 31 to 32, and I've been asked to comment in regard to the Olivet prophecy upon them. Jeremiah 25, verse 31, "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for Yahweh hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Sabaoth, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth." I believe that Jeremiah is principally dealing with that the events which, of course, will occur at the time of Armageddon and beyond. But obviously what he is stating and what relates to the Jewish situation in AD 70 is a type of the future, and quite often the two events or events relating to one relate to the other. And this, of course, is the case in verse 31 of this 25th chapter of Jeremiah, that the noise would come from the ends of the earth. And Yahweh did have a controversy with the nations. And the controversy that he had was with the nation of Israel, specifically in AD 70, because they had rejected their Messiah, and they continued to reject the Messiah in the person of the apostles. And Yahweh was, as it were, having a sacrifice within the city of Jerusalem, the place which witnessed the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, though is ultimately going to witness his glorification. And it's very interesting that all nations again are going to be gathered into the city of, to the areas of Jerusalem, when the Lord Yahweh will go forth and fight against them. And Yahweh at that point of time will have a controversy with the nations, and he will plead, as it were, with all flesh. And those that are wicked will be given to the sword, and destruction will go forth from nation to nation, as verse 32 shows us. The question relates to the Matthew 24, verse 45, which speaks of the faithful and wise servant. And the question relates to the fact that is it possible that in this day and age we are neglecting the feeding of babes in Christ? Now, I think that it is very applicable today. I think the Lord Jesus Christ is putting his finger on the ecclesial problems as they exist today. Not a matter of that this was a parable that has been in use for almost 2,000 years, and therefore in every generation people have been able to get something out of it. That is true. But I believe what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing is as though he'd written this in the last few months. And in writing it in the last few months, he's gone and put his finger on all the problems within the ecclesia today. And that's how it seems to me, as though the Lord Jesus Christ, when they sat upon the mount slopes of the Mount of Olives and watched the city of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ was doing it as though he was doing it in 1972. And the things which he stated were being written for 1972. And I believe that there is a great danger within the ecclesias today of the neglect of babes in Christ. And as Bruce has mentioned, this is the case in isolated parts as well as within the very cities itself. And we need to recognize that the Lord is writing specifically to us now. And the problems which he deals with are not problems which have really existed over that period of time, but are specifically writing for us in this day and age. And that if ever there was an age when there's been a neglect of those young in Christ, those babes in Christ, I believe it's this current age. And this, of course, is probably the spirit of the age, when people haven't finding the pressures of life so much that they're not able to attend correctly to those things. But a faithful and wise steward, servant, is one who does attend to those sort of things.
Under the general heading of the symbols of the ecclesia and their practical application,